A black rat finds a brick stack that blocks his way back to a food sack that helps his rat pack get a good snack. There's no flaw in a steady gnaw, in the brick's flaw, with a rat jaw and a sharp claw. To the rat's glee, he is set free through a hole he made as a devotee to a chewy life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of this theme. To our theme song, to hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about insistent incisors, but more on that later.
They are insistent.
They are.
Yeah, we're talking about another pillar of the animal community. The rat. The black rat.
The black rat.
But it is the rat. It's also known as a ship rat, a roof rat, a house rat, a common rat. It's a rat.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also brown rats.
Yeah, but this one's Remy. Because he's got black fur. We're going to call it here, I Chew It All Along, Nibbles and Bits, and Jolly Old Saint Bubonic.
Chew It All For You, Dolly. That's another really deep cut.
I'd do it all for you, Dolly.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a
suggestion. I would chew anything for love.
This was a suggestion from Rowan via email.
If you would like to suggest something. But I won't chew that.
Go to patreon.com, become a free member, or send us an email. Leave a comment on Spotify, whatever you like. Yeah. You have a science for it?
I do have a science. I think I remember this request. It's like, oh, we've done a lot of mice, but you've never done the rat. And this guy likes rats, so. Or this user likes rats. So it's interesting how commonly rats instead of mice are kept as pets. But let's talk about it. The kingdom is one you know, love, and are in. That's Kingdom Animalia. The phylum is Chordata. The subphylum is Vertebrata. The class is Mammalia. We're riding the same train here. This is where we get off. The order is Rodentia. The suborder is Myomorpha. The family is Muridae. The genus is Rattus. And the species is Rattus. Rattus, Rattus.
Rattus, Rattus, Wackus, Bunkus.
Yeah, so if you think you're going to get off easy doing nitty-gritty nomenclature because it's Rattus, Rattus, you're wrong, because it's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, critter groups. And the part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the name of a group of this animal, or what is the term of venery, or what is the collective noun? If you saw a group of rats before you call the exterminator, when you call the exterminator, would you say, hello, Mr. Exterminator, there is a mischief of rats in my house, or a nest of rats, or a knot of rats, or a silence of rats? So mischief, nest, knot, and silence.
Nest of rats is certainly something that is said. Mischief. Yes, not. I'm going to go with nest, final answer.
That is incorrect. A nest is the thing that they live in, mm-hmm. But it's not the term for the group.
Is it a knot?
It is a mischief.
Oh, okay.
There are quite a few, and that's just that was one of them.
A not, do you know what a rat king is?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what had me thinking about not for a second.
Yeah, that's why I picked it. I think it's also a boss in The Last of Us Part 2. You have to fight some conglomeration of zombified mutant rats.
Disgusting.
yeah, it's apparently a pretty disturbing boss. But, yeah, it's a mischief of rats. They do form nests, though, but that would be like saying a group of humans is called a building.
That's a good
tenement
name.
A tenement of humans. All right, let's talk about what rats look like for the uninitiated, for the newcomers to planet Earth. Welcome. And here's what a rat looks like. It is a long, slim-bodied, little furry creature. It has usually dark brown or black coarse fur, with a grayish belly. It is kind of, the fur kind of looks always a little mildly greasy, even when it's not. It's a little shiny. It has large rounded ears that seem a little bit too big for its head. A long pointed snout with twitchy little whiskers. A long tail that's usually longer than its body, that has no fur on it. It's a big naked tail. And then these just, we've said it multiple times in this show, these pink people hands. It has the just, you know, furless, pinkish claws. And beady black eyes. In many respects, you don't really think of rats as cute, but like when they're domesticated and groomed, they just look like big mice.
Right.
But when you see one just like sitting on like scurrying around in the gutter or something like that, all covered in grime and whatnot, it's like, it's not that cute anymore. But I think they're pretty cute. But they are bigger than mice. But how much bigger, Joe?
It's a great question. Welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself saying, singing, or sometimes chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week, but that means you can hear from an animal and Carlos is to guess what it is.
Bet you it's going to be a rat.
Without further ado, the listeners part of the show.
From the brain that brought you the Big Ben caper, the head that made headlines in every newspaper, and wondrous things like the Tower
Bridge. A good rat.
It was going to be one of two things, I think.
What was the other one? What was this one?
Remy. Well, this one's Ratigan, but it was going to be the, you know, Ratatouille, the Remy, and
I was choosing between this one and Clooney the Scourge from Redwall, but
there was no way I was going to get that because I've never seen that.
Yeah, I was trying to find a rat that's certainly a black rat and not a brown rat. Ratigan may very well be a brown rat.
He's pretty big.
Yeah.
Black rats tend to be bigger than brown rats.
Do they? I don't know. Well, he's only...
Ratigan.
Well, he's a rat living among mice. He's embarrassed to be a rat.
I guess, yeah. So he's proportionally big.
Right.
He's a rat living among mice. That's just a phrase. Yeah. Radigan Begin Again.
Radigan from the Great Zap Mouse Detective. Radigan. That is correct. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about their length. Adult black rats typically have a body length of 5 to 8 inches or 13 to 20 centimeters from nose to rump. Their tail is long and slender, usually about 6 to 10 inches as well. 5 to 25 centimeters. It's often as long or longer than the body, which is a key identifying feature of rats. But let's go with body length, 8 inches. A traditional Indian bansuri is a bamboo flute and a key cultural artifact in Indian classical music, often associated with Krishna in mythology and art. True or false? A bansuri is exactly one black rat long.
True.
Final answer, true?
Yes.
Correct answer is true.
Yeah.
It is about eight inches.
It's like the size of a recorder.
Mm-hmm.
What a name for an instrument. It's, what is it recording?
That's a good,
why do we call it a recorder? It's just, it's just, it's baby flute. That's what it is.
Yeah. Although, have you ever heard anyone that's really good at the recorder? It sounds pretty good.
Well, I mean, it's the same exact thing as like a penny whistle. So just call it that. Or a tin whistle. It's just not made out of tin. It's right. Plastic whistle.
First act flute. Baby's first flute.
Baby's first flute, yes.
Well, let's talk about their weight. Most adults fall between 2.5 and 7 ounces, 70 to 200 grams. Males are usually a bit bigger than females, but both stay relatively light and agile, especially if they're in the wild. Adult female Indian star tortoises live in dry forests, scrublands, and thorny vegetations across much of India. True or false? 30 black rats go into the Indian star tortoise female's weight.
How heavy, again, is the rat?
7 ounces.
7 ounces. And an ounce is devastatingly heavy.
Yes.
So, false.
False?
I think that more rats go into this tortoise.
Final answer?
Yes.
The correct answer is false. It's about 34 pounds. No, it would be... No, it's about 15 pounds, 34 rats.
Oh, wow. So it was so close.
But you're right. It's more.
I thought it was a lot more, but... I mean, never mind. I knew exactly. I knew it was going to be just a little bit more...
A tortoise.
I just know. I just know my tortoise is that really well.
Big, yeah. But not this one particular. This one is
a 15-pound tortoise. Is a big tortoise.
I'm thinking of like a Galapagos.
Yeah, those things weigh like 300 pounds or whatever. Right. But still, like a, what are the gopher tortoise? The ones that we have here. Those weigh like 4 pounds.
No,
those are really, most of the ones I see are like not very heavy.
Gopher tortoises are fun. I like them.
Yeah, we have gopher tortoise burrows. Mm-hmm. That's what got me I was about to say burrows and tortoise all over the place. Here.
Burrowing owls like to take over old tortoise holes. That's where they like to burrow.
So do Eastern diamondback rattlesnakes. So it's like there's just a huge hole in the ground, and the kids are like, "Oh, look, I'll just go play." No, stay away. It's probably a hole full of snakes.
That's all I got for that. Do you have any fast facts before we get into the major fact?
I do. So I was sensing a little bit of a theme If I may be so bold, mm-hmm. in your measure up, mm-hmm. The black rat originates from Southeast Asia, so from India and Burma and Bangladesh areas, because that area, part of the world, for a very long time was the center of global trade. The rats are now live everywhere. They have hitched a ride on every boat and made it to every continent except for Antarctica.
I hope you like turmeric, because this is the price of having turmeric everywhere. Turmeric and all the other spices that we got.
Oh, yeah. Maybe some other spices that are more common.
Cinnamon, tea. Probably.
Tea is huge. Cinnamon, yes. Sugar as well. Thank you, British. But yes, this is the price of all of this is the price of the spice on Arrakis.
Although I'm pretty sure rats predated like the Renaissance. Like I think rats were pretty much everywhere by then already. In fact, the Black Plague. Rats.
The world was already had lots of rats, but like that area of the world was also a center of global trade long before the British showed up and used it as a center of global trade. But yes, the black rat lives now all over the place in the world. It likes buildings and attics and rafters anywhere high up. Can look down on its hosts and feel superior, but you know, lives in burrows out in the wild, but is very, very domesticated, very integrated with human life and urbanization, kind of like a pigeon. They are one of the things that makes them so adaptable to humans and architecture is their appetite and their diet. Unlike my son, they are not picky at all. They are omnivorous. They will eat pretty much anything that can be eaten.
They may be
lots of things that can't be eaten.
We use the raccoon as the like type species for generalism, but it might be the rat. The rat might be the number one on the leaderboard for generalism.
The ultimate generalist?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you think of a goat as eating everything, but I don't know. Goats have like pica or whatever. They eat stuff that's not supposed to be eaten. But like a rat will eat everything from meat to fruit to grains to the studs in your walls,
burlap sacks,
to eat each other, to yeah. to yeah,
your dreams at night.
They're dream eaters. Yeah. They are excellent climbers. They can they're actually black rats are not as commonly found in sewers because they like to be up high. So you're more likely to find black rats in attics and rooftops and in trees. And you're more likely to find brown rats in sewers. They like underground. They live in these loose colonies that are not very strictly defined. So unlike the ratatouille idea where it's like, don't turn your back on the family. They kind of just morph in and out, go from colony to colony, but for the most part, they like to stay together. They breed fast and often. Another thing that makes them so adaptable, mm-hmm. it helps to eat everything and to make a lot of babies. That is one of the ways to mm-hmm. Not be destroyed by a city encroaching on your territory. Also being small. That helps. Yeah. I'm sure if rats were the size of like cocker spaniels, they would have been exterminated a long time ago. They produce multiple litters a year, and can very quickly create a colony within just a few generations. They like to squeak and chitter, but they also make some ultrasonic sounds that are for their ears only. They have to keep an eye out for cats, owls, snakes, dogs, humans, obviously. Since they mostly live in urban environments, they don't really have that many, a wide variety of predators to deal with. But, you know, birds and domesticated animals are a problem. They live for about a year in the wild, longer in captivity, as long as nothing eats it, or they are not a part of some sort of experiment that shocks them into dying early. So I'll leave it at that.
There's a cross section between intelligence and generalism that makes like things really good at living alongside humans and really difficult for humans to keep out of food. Like raccoons and black bears and rats. It's the big three of generalism.
And people. We're generalists too.
And intelligence. Yeah, that's true. I wonder if there is a correlation between generalism and intelligence. Because you think about specialists like koalas and pandas, and they're not known for their intelligence.
But a dolphin? Like, they just eat fish.
But all kinds of fish. Well, I mean, if you gave them... I mean, it's difficult. Let's talk land mammals, because...
They are... They're even mammals.
There's no berries in the ocean. There's no...
They could eat, like, sea urchins or just, like, eat seaweed or coral or something like that. And then also eat fish. The whole point of being a generalist is that, like, no matter where you are, there is food. You're either eating plants or you're eating...
Chimpanzees will also eat food. Meat sometimes. Right. But I think orangutans are pretty just vegetarian.
Fruit.
Mostly fruits and vegetables. Almost
a lot of monkeys vegetables. Just eat fruit. And, yeah. Well, they'll eat bugs, too.
Mm-hmm. Anyway... There's another thing about black rats, a myth that they could eat through anything. I'm calling this major fact choo-choo. They have the reputation that they can just, you can't keep them out of anywhere because they will chew through anything. They have ever-growing incisors and powerful jaw muscles. And the need to gnaw on stuff constantly so they can chew through wood, even hardwood, drywall, plaster, plastic, including PVC pipes, aluminum with thin sheets and cans of aluminum, lead, old pipes of lead they have been known to chew through, lead flashing. Rubber gaskets and seals, and electrical wire and insulation, which is one of the reasons they are having rats in your house as a fire hazard, because they will chew through stuff and set the place on fire. But despite the legends, they can't chew through literally anything. They can't chew through really hard materials like steel or iron or solid concrete. Although they have a reputation of getting through concrete, but that's because they are really good at exploiting cracks or weak concrete. Like weak points, they'll get through. If there's a crack, they'll widen it. If it's weak concrete or crumbling concrete, they can bust through it. If it's thin enough, but hardened like freshly poured concrete, they cannot chew through. So how can they do this? So they have those incisors, the two front teeth and two bottom teeth, and the two front teeth at the top and bottom are actually, they have a hardness that is harder than copper and harder than aluminum. So if they're, if they scratch copper with their teeth, it will leave a scratch in the copper and not,
not in their tooth.
Not weather their tooth at all. They can apply bite forces in the thousands of PSI, at the tooth tip, not total bite force, but the pressure at the tooth tip is thousands of PSI. Their enamel is only on the front of the tooth, so it self-sharpens into a chiseled edge. They have this these ever-growing incisors with this enamel that allows, when they gnaw on things, it just keeps their teeth sharp. It's also a matter of intelligence and persistence. They don't bulldoze through obstacles, but they will test weak points. They'll return repeatedly. They'll exploit weaknesses and seams and soft edges, and they'll work over hours or even days, and they'll work quietly. So if they're in your house, they will just be gnawing on the weak points and stressing your materials over time.
So gnawing, breaking, biting, hacking, burning, destroyers and usurpers, curse them.
Yeah. Well, from your perspective, there's this big plank of, you put a piece of hardwood to cover a hole, and then you check back in a few days and they're busted through it. It's likely it took that few days for them to get through it, but they did with persistence. So they can also chew so effectively because their teeth and jaws are designed to constantly process tough, fibrous food and hard plant materials in the wild. Like, why can they chew through hardwood and tin and aluminum and PVC pipe? It's because in the wild they're eating seeds and nuts and bark and roots and fruits with hard shells, foods that are calorie dense, but they are difficult to access. Being able to gnaw through protective layers of like a rind give rats access to nutrition that may be otherwise out of reach for other animals, especially in lean seasons. So they've adapted to be able to bust through coconuts and stuff like that. So chewing isn't optional for them. It is a key survival skill. And like many rodents, those incisors keep growing and growing and growing. And if they don't gnaw regularly, their teeth will overgrow, curve in, and eventually prevent the animal from eating anything at all. So they have to gnaw. So they get a lot of practice, and their jaw muscles are strong. So they're adapted to constantly be chewing on stuff. So it's not just that they can, it's that they have to.
I had gerbils as a kid, and that was one of the things that we had to do all the time, was give them something to chew on.
Yeah.
So we had these big, like, thick cardboard rolls of, like, where, like, at Michael's, they would roll fabric up. We had these big rolls, and we would saw through them and just give them to the gerbils to constantly chew on. But we called one of them Houdini, or Boudini, because it's mixed between Buddy and Houdini, because we put him in a box with holes in it, obviously, but while we were building his cage, and we turned around and he was gone, he had chewed his way through.
Yeah.
And was out of there, so.
Rabbits are not rodents, but they have the same situation. They need stuff to chew on, or their teeth will grow out of control.
Or the Bobby Roos's horns tusks that will
stab them.
That grow into their head.
The distinctive enamel structure, with hard enamel on the front and softer dentine behind, causes the teeth to self-sharpen as they wear down. Gnawing keeps the teeth at a functional length with a razor sharp edge, making it the perfect chewing tool. So chewing also serves as an important role in movement and shelter. They're agile climbers and often nest in trees, like you said, and roofs and dense vegetation. In natural settings, they gnaw to widen crevices, hollow out nest sites, and access spaces that are ideal for nesting inside wood and plant material. So it's not just for food. They also use it to build their house, gnaw a house into a home. That's what they do.
That's what I do.
That's pretty much it. That's all I got. They are nasty little critters. A rodent bite is also like, it will do damage. A rat bite, a squirrel bite, they will slice
you through. Just described why, because it's they have daggers for teeth,
yeah,
that they're constantly sharpening and covered in like enamel that's harder than copper.
Right, yeah.
It's literally being stabbed with a couple of knives.
They have those cute faces, but then you look from an under, if you see their mouth open or their, if you look from the underside, they've got those daggers.
Yeah, don't mess with rats.
Don't mess with rats. Yeah, there's like a, this is one of those things where there's a number of, there's, you could look, read stories about rats and legends about rats and interesting facts about rats all day, because they are so near to humans throughout history. So it's like dogs, it's like cows, stuff that's close to us that we know a ton about.
Yeah, and rats have surprisingly similar reactions to things as humans, so they are often used for like product testing and whatnot, and you know, the whole lab rat thing, their levels of intelligence. They could do psychological tests with them.
Yeah. We
ain't stuck in a rat race for nothing.
The famous rat park experiment with about drugs and social relationships.
I would like to correct something I said earlier. The brown rat is actually bigger than the
It looks bigger. Black rat. Yeah, it looks bigger.
It's the other way around. Which would make sense, because the black rat likes to climb things and be up top, and the brown rat likes to be down in the sewer. So if you are a climber, you probably want to be on the slimmer side.
Longer tail. Street rat, sewer rat, wharf rat, that's the brown rat.
I don't buy that. But yeah, anyone can cook, but not everyone should. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
All right. For you out there in podcast, yes, sail the ocean blue. Spread disease. And chew constantly so your teeth won't grow forever like the black rat here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
The last one is, I usually try and make not so specific that it's non-actionable.